This is our second look at priorities. We want to start with the scripture in Matthew once again, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? And we looked at that last with our last lesson. The things that we need, clothes, food, all of those things, God knows exactly what we need. But when we seek after Him, those things fall into place. Romans 12:2 tells us, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Proverbs 90 verse 12 tells us to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Listen, as young people, when we become teenagers, we think that we are invincible. We think so far ahead, and it's not wrong to have dreams or to make plans, but all those plans are to be with this thought in mind, that no one is promised tomorrow. That today is the day that the Lord has made. We've been given this day. And so this day, we live for this day. And this day, we live to honor God. And so, listen, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom is what we need to do, is to realize that each day is a gift from God. In Romans 12:2, where Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world." If you turn on the TV and you look at the news, if you look at TV programs, if you look at social media, you read things that are posted. The majority, I won't try to put a percentage, but the majority is contrary. Contrary to the Word of God. So if that is the only place that you look to gain a heart of wisdom, what heart will you have? What will be your thinking? That's why Paul says that we should not be conformed to this world, because this world tries to conform you, desires to conform you, pursues to conform you, spends billions of dollars to conform you to its way of thinking, which is anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-His Word and His ways. And so if you want to be able to have a right mind, if you want your mind to be able to be right and your thoughts on any subject, you have to seek after God. Seek Him and His kingdom, His righteousness, so that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We not only are to seek His kingdom, we are to seek His righteousness. We are to seek God's character within us. The kingdom is God. The kingdom of God is not only to be experienced inwardly, but expressed outwardly also. What is happening on the inside should begin to be revealed in our character, in our choices, in our words, and in our lifestyle. A person's character is the outward expression of whatever controls them inwardly. Faith is always seen by its fruit. Character is always seen by its conduct. As we seek the kingdom of God, people should be able to see the kingdom of God in us. We cannot make a difference in other people's lives around us until they see a difference in us. I want to just talk to you a moment about what that means. There was a man before I was born, and certainly before you young people were born, and you may have studied him in school. If you haven't, I'm sure that you will when you enter college. Friedrich Nietzsche. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a philosopher. He was born in 1844 and he died in 1900. This man, Friedrich Nietzsche, he was a writer, and his writings influenced a man who influenced a nation. And that influence is still around today. Now, who was this man that he influenced? This man's name was Adolf Hitler. And what was the nation? The nation was Germany. And what is the influence that is still around today? That is the Nazi movement. He is considered, Friedrich Nietzsche is considered the founder of the Nazi movement. And you say, how is that? It is because it was his philosophy, his thought, that Adolf Hitler gave credence to and believed what this man said. Friedrich Nietzsche is described as a fervent anti-Christian, anti-Judaism, and there were many more, but those things relate to us, and so that's what we're looking at. He was a self-acclaimed antichrist, expressed his beliefs in a master race and the coming of a Superman. He was the first man in history to come to the conclusion that God is dead. And we've seen that movie. This is a perfect time to bring up the movie God's Not Dead. And if you remember in that movie, the professor said, right, God is dead. And so Friedrich Nietzsche is the one that did that. And anyone who would want to, for you to declare that is someone of that philosophy. But where does that philosophy come from? Where does that come from to begin with? We know that it comes from Satan himself, who would declare that so that you would follow hard after him and do the things that he says. He would say that God is not dead, and these are the things that you can have. Everything that is fake, false, and destructive in a person's life is what Satan will give you. He will give you nothing but destruction. God is not dead. God is very much alive. And what he will give you is righteousness. He will give you good and prosperous and a bountiful life. How did Friedrich Nietzsche come to the conclusion that God was dead? He writes that by observing Christians, this is what he said. This is a quote from him. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you are going to have to look a little more redeemed. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. You may think, I go through my day, I don't say anything to anyone, I keep quiet, I am a Christian, and I don't have to go around telling anyone, I just keep it all to myself. But listen, people are looking at you. And if everything sets you off, what makes you different than anyone else in the world? If you say you're a Christian, and your tongue is not under the control of the Holy Spirit, what makes you any different? If your behaviors, if your life is not under the control of the Redeemer, then what proof is there that you are redeemed? When someone on the outside is looking at you, you never know who is looking at your life. When he lives, when Jesus lives in us, and we set our priorities to seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness, we begin to look like him. So it becomes evident to those around us, and our words line up with our actions. And folks listen when it makes a straighter road. Folks listen, and this in turn makes a straighter road to bring others to Christ. When our actions are contrary to our words, who will listen to you? Who will listen to you? And this will always be until your priorities are right, until you come to the place and you say, I can't do this, but God, I need you to do it. I need your instruction. I need your governance over my life. I need your word in my mouth. We seek, but we must desire it also. It has to be a desire. When people seek after something with all of their riches, with all of their time, with all of their heart, with all of their energy, it is because it is something that they so long to have. It is such a desire. You have those who are treasure hunters in the ocean. They will spend every ounce of their strength, every penny they can find, every waking moment to find that one treasure. How much greater is God? There are those who want to climb the highest mountain in the world, they will train, they will sacrifice, they will take every cent they have to prepare and to buy the things that are essential for them to make that climb. They are willing to sacrifice friends and family, relationships, just to make that one climb. We call ourselves a Christian. What are we willing to sacrifice? We must desire. We all do what we really want to do. Is that not true? Every one of us. No matter the age, what we really want to do, we do. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If we hunger and thirst after God, He will fill us. Think about the next time you are really hungry or thirsty. When, you know, where we live, it's rare for us to truly be hungry. Living in the desert now, being thirsty is a little bit different. But when you're so thirsty, you just have to have a drink of water. Are you ever that thirsty for the Lord? For those who are athletic and you are practicing really hard and you come home and you're starving, do you ever have that same urgency or need for the Word of God? Do you ever have the same desire for Him, for our Lord and Savior? God is not looking for your righteousness. Why? Because we have no righteousness. He gives us His righteousness. God is not looking for what you can do for Him. There is nothing that we can do for God. We can't add to God. All we can do is yield to God. What God is wanting is someone that He can work through, that He may receive the glory. That's why you see God call people and use people that the world would never pick. If they were playing a sport and they had to pick a team, it's the person that no one would pick. And they would only put them on their team because they had to. But God would come along and He would pick that person. And He would so come to dwell in them that He would put them in a place that their voice could be heard worldwide. Because it would give Him honor. Because everyone would say, "Oh, this is a person that no one would pick. Oh, this is a person who could not string two words together. Oh, this is a person, look at how they look. Look at their stature. They're so short. Or they're so fat. Or they're so not attractive. They're so, why would anyone let them stand up on a stage and speak? Why would anyone?" When God puts His hand on you and you seek after Him, there is nothing impossible with God. There is a difference between self-righteousness and His righteousness. Sometimes we get pretty self-righteous with what we think is our right. You have to come to a place that you realize that when we come to Christ, that it's God who comes and gives us His righteousness. There's nothing right in us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Righteousness must be imputed. That word imputed means credited, before it can be imparted. And imparted means given. Before you can live it, God must give it. Priorities for a Christian means putting God first in every area of our life. Not just at church, but every area. When you get up in the mornings without His instructions, without His wisdom, without His word, how will you know which way to go and what to do? See, when you wake up in the morning, you may have plans, but you don't know what the day holds. But the one who created the day, He knows the beginning and the end of that day. You need His word in the mornings. You need your mind renewed. There was an actor. His name was Will Rogers. There is a museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I've actually been to that museum, and it's really worth seeing if you ever have the opportunity. He was an actor, a writer for newspapers, and an American cowboy. This is what he said. He said, "We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." Will Rogers said, "We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." And that is because we honor Christ in all things. Remember, priorities. What is your priority? I would encourage you, if you do not have a reading plan for your Bible, this is what I do, and this is what I encourage everyone. Start with the New Testament. And for those who are just starting, the Gospel of Mark is a fast read, and it takes you where Jesus is. He is always on the go. And so in the culture that we live in, we like things immediate and fast, microwavable, instantaneous. And so you take the Gospel of Mark. You go through the Gospel. If you're not accustomed to reading every day, set a certain time to read. And sit there, take your Bible, get a bookmark. Put your bookmark there. Start with chapter 1. If you only can read one chapter at a time, read one chapter. And when you have finished that, highlight things when you're reading it. And when you go through the book of Mark and you're reading along and you come to something, and just say the scripture just jumps out and you go, "Oh, I've never seen that before." And you just highlight it. I highlighted this in mine. It's the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. He said, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside." And it goes through about the different seeds. And I highlighted this because every time I read it, I just see something different. And so I highlighted that because it was speaking to me at that time. And then in verse 13 it says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Because Jesus spoke in parables. But as you go through and you read, there was a time that I went through and I was thinking about how God heals, and He healed in Scripture and He heals today. That's not something that He just stopped doing when He ascended into heaven. And so I went through, and every place where God healed, where Jesus healed, I highlighted that and I wrote it down so I could think on those things and think about how He does those things. And He's not stopped doing it. He still does it today. But I'm saying start that reading plan. Start if you want to start in the Gospel of Mark. But put your bookmark there. Write the day that you started. And when you finish that, this is my practice. Then I turn to the Old Testament. And I wouldn't advise that you start with all of the genealogies. But if you've never read all the way through, start at the book of Genesis, which is your foundation. Read through the book of Genesis. And when you get to the names, you're not able to pronounce those names, just say them to yourself the best that you can. Go through it one chapter at a time if you're able to read more chapters at a time. But then take a New Testament, then an Old Testament. I do suggest that you read the book of Proverbs along with that every day, because the book of Proverbs is practical wisdom for us. It is wisdom. And so if you read one proverb a day, and then just to be refreshed, the Psalms. Always read the Psalms. But you can read the book of Proverbs once a month for a whole year, and it does renew your mind. It changes the way you think. And then just go back and forth. Date it when you read it. Date the book of Mark when you start there. And then next year, see where you are next year. See, you can read the entire Bible in one year. Don't let the names bog you down. Just read the names. Don't say, "Well, I'm not getting anything out of this." Listen, it is a supernatural book. It does a supernatural work. You have to take the first step. a step of faith and start this. God will meet you where you are. Holy Spirit will begin to open up and reveal to you what you need. Amen.